The Hard Shoulder.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range. Celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.
Joining me now in the studio is Claire Fulham. She's a trichologist and owner of Trua and Remy to discuss her own recent diagnosis of AUDHD. That is both autism and ADHD. Claire, you are really welcome.
Thank you.
To the studio, and thank you for coming in to us. Tell me what it is like to receive a diagnosis like that at 38 years of age.
Yeah, I think it's, Claire, to be honest, it's a relief, really. I think I went into that process kind of knowing I had ADHD from the research that I did, and everything kind of lined up. So my daughter had just been diagnosed 6 months before me. And when exploring this for myself, I noticed that, oh God, this is far too, you know. And then when she was diagnosed, you know, the apple doesn't fall far, you know. What's in the kittens in the cats, right? So I said, right, okay, I'm going to go back and I'm going to do this for myself, and this gift to myself to know myself a little bit better. So it's a big relief. I definitely think there's hurdles there in terms of medication, in terms of access, in terms of, you know, access for a diagnosis for people. It's really difficult. It costs us a lot of money to do 2 in 1 year. Now, that was our choice, of course, but it's hard on families. And I really think that help, like she doesn't know it now, my 15-year-old daughter, but what I've given her is a real chance, you know, that one that I didn't have, and I struggled for many, many years. And now I know why, and I can kind of forgive myself a little bit too. I wasn't broken. I wasn't lazy. I wasn't silly. I have autism and ADHD, and I'm also just Claire, you know, so it's
because you're the same person today as you were the day before your diagnosis. Yeah. But you've described going to get diagnosed, which I really love, as doing something kind for yourself.
Of course. Yeah. And I'm really proud of myself for putting myself first. I think, like, especially mammies, you know, we don't always do that. And look, come here, look, it took me 15 years of being a mammy to kind of put myself first. But it was at a crucial point in my life. I think as I approach perimenopause and menopause, it was something that I was really noticing I had to do for myself.
Why was that? What were the triggers, I suppose, around perimenopause and menopause that you thought might make the way you were living your life more difficult?
So the research that I was doing was that if you feel like you're a woman and you suffer with ADHD, that you should really get a diet, you know, you should really talk to someone before those symptoms kick in. When there's any sort of hormonal change in the body and within the brain, it can really affect us, you know, hugely while going through perimenopause and menopause. And I just read too many, to be honest, like horror stories about it, and kind of women on the brink, you know, and women having breakdowns and not being able to work, and all of the stuff that we should be enjoying within those years of our lives. And I just felt like, do you know what, before this gets any worse, I need to tackle it and understand it for myself and my family, you know.
And through your research, describe for me what you were reading that was sort of like looking in a mirror.
God, do you have all night? I think there was, for me, especially because I was going in there thinking I just had ADHD, but actually I have autism as well. And they only found that through a QB test, which is actually a physical test they give you. And it's to do with focus and attention and all that kind of stuff. So I was really shocked by the autism part, to be honest, you know, because I think we all have a view of what we think autism looks like, you know. And now I think we know that it can look so varied, of course, you know, especially in women. So I suppose really I am a Jekyll and Hyde kind of character, and I wouldn't really have admitted that before now, before I have my diagnosis. But definitely I would have had all of the trademark signs of ADHD. I'm impulsive. Claire's a great laugh, isn't she? Right? I'd be the one getting up on the table, having too much to drink. I'd be the one going too far in life and putting myself actually in dangerous situations many times throughout my life. I would be the person pushing things to the limit, you know, in my teens and in my 20s, 100%. And I would just, I suppose, really had this kind of paralysis with decision making. It would take me all day to do a simple task like folding the laundry, but I can come on live radio and live TV and stand up in front of a crowd of people and do a fantastic job at it. But those small things in my life take me way longer, and I have a lot of shame around that. I'm embarrassed by that. And, you know, but give me anything hard or put me into an emergency situation and I'm the number one person you're going to lean on, you know. So those things were starting to stack up for me. And really, when I gave up alcohol, which is nearly 5 years ago now, when I gave that up, the noise came back, you know, and the chaos in my head started again. And
can you describe that for me? Because I think that is a real feature of a lot of neurodivergent people.
Yeah.
Is this electricity in the brain almost. What does that feel like and how does that play out?
Yeah, I mean, it feels like I am having 25 conversations with myself at once at all times. And that can be quite a noisy place to live and a kind of dysregulating place to live. And it can really, I suppose, put you under huge levels of stress. Like, I lost all my hair nearly 10 years ago because of the amount of stress I was under. And now I know why I did, because I was trying to keep a lid on everything. And now I do what I do because of that, you know. So all of those things, but that noise is like an incredible amount of pressure. And you feel like you have to listen to every conversation and have your ear in every conversation, but it's ultimately impossible. And then I'm trying to talk to you at the same time. So it's a really big, big noise. And that noise kept creeping up and creeping up and creeping up. And it kept getting louder over the past 5 years. And that's really when I knew what I was doing. When I was drinking alcohol, I was trying to survive. I was trying to take my medicine every morning, you know. And then when that was removed from my life, when my medicine was removed from my life out of choice, of course, and it was a great thing for me to do, but I didn't have that anymore. I never had that calm, that quiet anymore, you know.
And do you look back now and say that is potentially why I had that relationship with alcohol, while I had that really problematic relationship with alcohol, is that you were constantly trying to make the world quiet?
Yeah, to make the world quiet and to have moments in the day where there was relief and moments in the day where I felt normal and human, I suppose, and kind of capable. I remember, again, I can say this because I work for myself, but I remember when I was setting up my business, I was still drinking, and there'd be these really mundane tasks like uploading things to a website. I couldn't get that done until I drank two or three drinks of alcohol. Once I had two or three drinks of alcohol in my system, I could take over the world. But then the fourth and the fifth wouldn't be nice anymore, you know? But I could only do that because of the quiet that alcohol brought me. And I think that a lot of people go through that. A lot of neurodivergent people are living in the world not knowing that they're neurodivergent, and they're using alcohol or drugs as medicine or other things that they seek dopamine through. Like, the thing is, I don't have enough dopamine in my brain. So I'm constantly trying to chase that dopamine, you know. That can be overeating, that can be sex, that can be, you know, breaking the law, that can be drugs, that can be alcohol. And I mean, there's so many studies, especially in the States, of so many prisoners that are neurodivergent, you know. And I think that the more we talk about it and give people the space to explore that in an accessible way, you know, it can help society hugely. Because I don't think I'm broken. I think I'm really part of this food chain. We need all sorts of people, don't we, to be able to run this world. So I think that, you know, it was really important for me to kind of, you know, listen to that noise and try and understand what that noise was. And now I know that it's autism / ADHD.
You know? And so dealing with the noise now, what is the prognosis there for you?
I'm going to go on to medication in 2 weeks. So my daughter, and this might be controversial, but she went on medication there in June, and she's like a different kid. And it's like the description I got from it was like, it's like putting, you know, glasses on a child who can't see, you know. That's the, she's such a chance now to do well and to kind of really concentrate in school and everything else. And it's her junior cert this year, so we probably up the meds now for a couple of months.
And but what is the medication, do you mind me asking, generally for somebody who's...
It depends. Yeah, you can go stimulant medication or non-stimulant medication. So we've chosen to go stimulant medication at the recommendation of the psychiatrist. And stimulants, they come in all shapes and sizes, all different doses. So it's kind of a trial and error for a while. Like, I don't expect now to take these pills in a couple of weeks' time and be solved. It's kind of like pills and skills. You have to learn. And come here, after 38 years, I know how to live in this world. It's uncomfortable for me most of the time, but I do a good job of it. And, you know, I mask very well.
Which is a real female approach,
we're
isn't
good
it?
At it? Yeah, I want to be palatable. I want you to like me. I want you to know I did a good job for you. And that's really hard to... And I don't think my ADHD will allow me to take those walls down, because it is that kind of pull between the autism and the ADHD, you know. It probably would be a little bit easier if I just, what I was looking for was the ADHD diagnosis. But this dual one's quite challenging for me, you know. But I think the plan would be to go onto some medication, see how it works out, But that's not easy. Like, getting medication isn't easy in Ireland. It's expensive. It's hard. It's a controlled drug, right? Because some of it, the stimulants are like methamphetamines, right? So they have to be a controlled drug. So it's difficult to access it. And putting a barrier in front of someone with ADHD, I'll snuggle into that barrier rather than try and climb over it unless I really need to or want to.
And will you have to pay for all of that yourself?
Yeah, well, again, you know, the kind of family drug scheme, I think it's like €80 a month or so. So like that, we've applied for that because Farah's on medication now, I will be. So we'll get, please God, about €80 a month or so, you know. But it's so expensive to even get the diagnosis. So it's a privileged position that I'm in, that I was able to do that for us, you know. But many, many people around Ireland can't do that, or they're on huge waiting lists, you know.
And is that because you just couldn't face the long waiting list? This was something that you felt you really needed to prioritise?
I felt like, yeah, it was something there that would really change my life, please God, you know. So that's the plan anyway, hopefully.
Well, Claire, I think that's going to be really insightful and impactful to a lot of people out there who perhaps have children that they are concerned about, or they themselves as adults can probably relate to that sense of noise and not being able to dampen it. So I commend you for coming in and sharing your story.
You.
And I hope the journey with medication and whatever else you do to find your own space and your own place and your own happiness is an easy one. Claire Fulham, thank you so very much. And we have a text coming in here. Your guests gave a really good explanation of ADHD. I was recently diagnosed at 45 and meds really are helping. I can relate to everything being said. Masking is just so difficult. Another text, what an open and honest discussion. A really great interview. And thanks again to Claire Fulham for speaking to us on The Hard Shoulder.
The Hard Shoulder
with the MG Hybrid and Electric range, celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.